Proverbs 3 and verse 2. This is the second verse of the first couplet. So you just, did you know the word couplet? You just learned anew. You did. Okay. You did. You did too. Okay, maybe I'm the only one that didn't know it. So I learned something new whenever I was putting this together. Actually, I heard another brother do a sermon on Proverbs 3, which is a member of another church, just coincidentally. And so when I heard him, I actually picked up a couple things and put it in here from his sermon. So that was helpful.
With regard to this, unless you put it, you went through that in blogs.
I didn't,
and
no.
I didn't remember that, no. But I just had heard the word, but not
this. Yeah, okay. Yep. And yeah, and I had not, at least I hadn't heard the word in this context anyway. Sometimes the Lord really works things out because I just happened to be listening to that sermon by Chad Zwolinski, actually, a former member of the Cincinnati Church now down in Lakeland. And it was a few weeks ago, and I picked up, so he had some really good stuff in there. And so I was able to put that in here before I heard it after the fact, and it was too late. So I'm glad I heard it when I did. Anyway, Proverbs 3 and verse 2. But then he wrote me and said that he had read my blogs and put some of my stuff in his sermon. So I guess, you know, what goes around comes around. So anyway, Proverbs 3 and verse 2. It says, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. So remember, commandment and promise. So the commandment is, forget not my law, let thine heart keep my commandments. The promise is, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Okay, so let's look at the first part of that verse. For length of days and long life shall they add to thee. So many people today, if you haven't noticed, spend a lot of money and time and energy in a mostly futile effort to lengthen their lives. And this pretty much goes for not everybody, but for a lot of Christians and heathen alike, right? A lot of people are really into trying to prolong their lives. You know, I'm fine with being healthy as long as you can and not being miserable at the end of your life and, you know, being bedridden or something, but I'm not really all that thrilled about extending my life. I'd rather get out of here, to be honest with you, and go to heaven where it's far better. But anyway, a lot of people are really into this. Special diets, exercise, and expensive supplements are pursued with religious fervor in hopes of getting to spend a few more years on this sin-cursed earth, which I don't quite understand, but people love to do that. So you have two different, like I said, you got Christians and non-Christians that do this. So let's look at the non-Christians first of all. You got worldly men who look to advances in science, modern medicine, and even transhumanism as their savior that they hope will stave off death for decades or centuries or even forever. There are some crazy lunatics out there that think that through modern science and advancements and transhumanism, replacing your organs and joints and all this with mechanical stuff or lab-grown stuff or whatever, that you can just live forever, which is crazy to even think about it. Even if you did replace all of your organs and your joints, you're still just going to get old and wrinkly and decrepit. And it's just, it's insane. But there's really people out there that want to do this. Like one of the leaders, the big higher-ups in Google, the guy takes, and it's been years since I've read this, but like hundreds of supplements or something like that every day, because he wants to live forever. It's like, what a loser. So anyway, but then on the other side of the aisle, you got religious folks today that look to, quote, natural methods to prolong their lives, endlessly chasing one guru after another who claims to have just what God ordered to make us live at least 20 years longer than his book says that we will, which I don't quite understand that either. I mean, if the Bible says you're going to live 70 to 80 years, if by reason of strength fourscore, right, I don't understand people that are like, oh, we could easily live 150 years. I've actually heard people say that. I've had people give me tapes, and the guy is saying that there's no reason why we can't live to be 150 years old, and there are people in India that da-da-da-da, and I'm like, because God said we're going to live 70 to 80. Maybe that's a reason why we don't live to 150. But anyway, I don't. Maybe I just have a bad attitude when it comes to health and medicine, and because I don't have a lot of confidence in conventional modern medicine, and I don't have a lot of confidence in natural other stuff either, to be quite honest with you. Pretty much everything that I've ever tried for anything didn't work. Almost everything, anyway. With rare exception, I've tried all kinds of stuff. Anytime somebody gives me anything to try, I'll try it. And I've never had hardly any success with anything. Some people do, but I'm not a believer yet anyway. So we'll see. So the key to long life is not found at the Mayo Clinic. It's not at the local drugstore. It's not at the natural food store. It's not even in your own garden. It's rather in keeping God's law and remembering his commandments. Proverbs 3:1. That's what it says there. Remember, forget not my law. Let thine heart keep my commandments. This is how you get length of days and long life. So if men would put down their prescription drugs, 3D organ printers, organic food, vitamins, homeopathic potions, and essential oils, and instead pick up their Bible and read it every day, remember what they read and put it into practice in their lives, they might stand a much better chance of living to the ripe old age of 80, just like God said you would in the first place. That's what I think, anyway. I realize a lot of people wouldn't agree with me about that, probably, but that's okay. Now, could some of the above-mentioned things, could they lengthen your life? Possibly. Probably. You know, there's certainly are drugs that can lengthen your life. You get a nasty infection, antibiotics will lengthen your life, right? There's plenty of prescription drugs that will shorten it, too. You know, more people die from prescription drugs than most other things in this country. Prescribed drugs, more people die from than a lot of other stuff. Pretty interesting. It's like we just take it for granted, like, oh, the doctor just tells you to take this, take it. Right, tell that to all the corpses in the graveyard. I mean, a lot of people die from that stuff. Will taking God's prescription for longevity, will it be more effective? Absolutely. Yes, it will. Look at Proverbs 3, 7, and 8. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. So that's what God says you do to get healthy. And you know what? If you read the Bible and you live the way the Bible says, then and you eat, you know, similar to the way the Bible tells you to eat, and I don't mean by like the Old Testament dietary law even, but I just mean not eating too much sweet stuff, right? Eat so much honey as is sufficient for thee, right? Or don't eat too much or you'll vomit, right? I mean, even the Bible tells you not to eat too many sweets and so on. So anyway, if you live according to the Bible, chances are you'll be a lot more healthy. And I'll give you some other things that will bear that out as well in just a minute. Proverbs 4 and verse 10. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. There you go. That's what God says. Proverbs 9, 10 and 11. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me, that is the fear of the Lord, and the knowledge of him, for by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. Not by the hospitals and the doctors and the homeopathic guys, right? But by God and his word. That's what it says. Proverbs 10 and verse 27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. My experience with medical stuff is that when I'm not feeling well, I have two, or when I go to the doctor, I have two problems. This is kind of a modified version of what my dad says. I have a pain in my body and a pain in my wallet, and when I stop going to the doctor, one pain goes away, and that's the one in my wallet. And then eventually, my body usually ends up healing itself, and I feel fine anyway. I think, honestly, and somebody else has said this, I think a lot of times all going to a doctor does is buy your body enough time to heal itself. I really think that's the case. Like when I had that terrible stomach thing a year ago, and I took everything everybody told me to take, all kinds of stuff. None of it did a single thing, and it just stopped on its own. So, not to say that none of that stuff ever helps, but anyway. But you don't have to share my opinion, because like I said, I have a bad attitude when it comes to health stuff. So, anyway. There are at least, I said least, I meant least, there are at least three reasons why remembering and doing the Word of God results in the lengthening of life. So first of all, the Bible says, God says, that I will honor them that honor me. He said that in 1 Samuel 2 and verse 30. So if God honors those that honor him, then he will bless God-fearing people with a protracted life, with a lengthened life, because life is a blessing, right? Especially life, and a healthy life is a blessing. So if God says, I'll honor them that honor me, you honor him, then he honors you with long life, long, peaceful, healthy life. So that's the first reason. Secondly, God will extend the life of his saints in order for them to do as Psalm 71:18 says, and show his strength unto this generation and his power to everyone that is to come. That's another reason he would lengthen your life. Because if you're keeping his commandments and you're a godly Christian, then you can pass that faith on to the next generation. So that may be why he's keeping you on earth and not taking you to heaven to be with the Lord right away. So that's the second reason why keeping the commandments will lengthen your life. And then thirdly, a long and healthy life is a tangential effect, which means it's kind of, you know, related, you know, kind of partially related. It's a tangential effect of keeping God's commandments for the man who does so avoids sins which have life-shortening results, such as fornication and sodomy end up in STDs, which shorten your life. Drunkenness ends up in liver disease or drunken driving or something that shortens your life and other people's lives, unfortunately. Or gluttony shortens your life by diabetes, by heart disease, things like that. Or brawling shortens your life by, like what Jesus said, you live by the sword, you die by the sword, right? You like to get into fights. One day you get into a fight with somebody that's tougher than you and he knocks you out and you fall down and smash your head off of a sidewalk or something, you die, right? So keeping God's commandments, various ones, will lengthen your life just because you're going to be living wisely, and those things tend to life. And he says, long life and peace shall they add to thee. So not only does keeping the commandments lengthen your life, but it gives you that peaceful life. It'll increase not the length, not only the length, but the quality. So peace will be added to the doer of the word, here we're told. And remembering God's law is equivalent to keeping one's mind fixed on him. And the Bible says that the man that does so will be kept in perfect peace. Look at Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Yeah, living to 90 doesn't do anything for me, but living to 75 with a nice, peaceful existence, that'd be okay. I'd be all right with that. Isaiah 26 and verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. So when you are remembering and keeping God's commandments, that is by definition having your mind stayed on God, right? Your mind is like, it's not running all over the place. It's fixed there on the Lord. And that person will have perfect, complete, entire, unlacking peace. Now, the biblical definition of righteousness is keeping God's commandments. This was told to us in Luke 1:6, where it says that John the Baptist's parents, Zechariah and Elizabeth, that they were righteous before God, walking in the commandments, and all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Well, we're told that righteousness and peace are so closely bound together that they have kissed each other. That's what we're told in Psalm 85 and verse 10. So we start to see here that whenever you're righteous, then righteousness and peace are tied together. Psalm 85 and verse 10. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. So thus, keeping God's commandments, which is righteousness, brings the peaceful life that God has promised. For the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. That's in Isaiah 32 and verse 17. So, if you want the peace, righteousness is the pathway to it. And then as the scripture says there in Psalm 37:37, this will be the last verse for this verse of Proverbs. It says you can bank on it, basically. Verse 37, Psalm 37:37, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. So I think I said this before, but if you lack peace in your life, then check your heart, check your righteousness. Are you living according to God's word or not? Because God says that you should have perfect peace if you are. Let's see, I think, do we have